Well, during the Olympics last year, a BizNews Tribe member, John Cunha, was on the spot and gave us insights into the Olympics that we would never otherwise have seen. It also helped, I guess, that he is a good friend of Tatiana Smith, who won a couple of medals, the most medals that ever have been won at Olympics before by South Africans. So John did a wonderful job for us. And right now, it's all about Donald Trump, Trump tariffs, where South Africa is, and Washington is the hotspot. And we got our man, our tribe member, Anthony Ginsberg, who's just got back from Washington to his home in California. And he's got some fascinating things to tell us about it. Anthony, I love to talk to people who are there. I think that journalism seems to have lost a lot where you get these people just opining about, oh, well, I think that this should be the case. Whereas you were in Washington last week, you spoke to some incredible people, you got it from the horse's mouth, and you went with a South African mindset. So right now here at home, we're jittery. We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe we should start with the most serious thing that's on the table right now. There's a bill to sanction South Africa that is now gone through potentially to be heard by the American government. And should that be passed, it's big trouble. We heard initially that, well, this was just an idea, the Jackson bill. Where is it at the moment?
Hi, Alec. There's a lot of confusion in Washington, D.C. I had some fascinating meetings. There's good news and, I think, bad news for South Africa at the moment. That Jackson bill's only been introduced over the last couple of weeks. The bad news is that Jackson was Donald Trump's personal White House physician. Trump made him his chief medical officer for the U.S. He became a congressman. He's very close to Trump. He's the one driving this sanctions bill. Frankly, the guys I was talking to, the former Minister of Trade or the U.S. Trade Representative here who I met, there's a big misunderstanding about South Africa at the moment. They don't understand that up to 500,000 jobs could be lost potentially if a AGOA goes south. And that seems to come up a lot about South Africa's role in Southern Africa. Is South Africa still a friend of the U.S. or are we in the China camp and the Middle Eastern camp? So that comes up a lot. I must say, in every single meeting I had in D.C. with financial and trade experts, they're looking at it all through a Chinese lens. They want the U.S. to no longer be dependent on China. There's this massive trade deficit, as you know. You've been reporting on it for years. It's about $400 billion roughly a year with China. But South Africa's actually got a growing surplus with the Trump White House. So we actually could be in the dog box because we've actually grown through AGOA our trade surplus by about 45% over the last couple of years.
I know it's getting late at night for you now, and you've had a whole day, and we early in the morning here in South Africa, because in California you've got very inconvenient time zones for us. But let's just slow down a little bit. Let's start with that Jackson bill. It has been well covered here on BizNews. It would be appalling if that were to be passed through Congress. As I said, the idea was, well, it was somebody who was pretty unhappy about it, and he put this thing together with others. You say it's now been introduced. What does that mean, introduced?
Yeah. Look, it's still got to go to the main floor of the House of Representatives. Jackson is in the lower House of Representatives. He's not in the Senate. But these bills would get passed, firstly, in the House of Representatives. He needs some additional backers. So it's no guarantee that it's going to go through. But I think the bigger picture, Alec, is the fact that it's even gotten to this stage shows that South Africa is getting very negative media attention in the U.S. I mean, the lack of an ambassador to represent the country, the fact that our consul general here in L.A. was also thrown out, apparently. So we've actually got nobody on the other side of the Elon Musk sort of media campaign over here. Unfortunately, there are lots of reservoirs of goodwill. I met Republicans on the Hill who have Trump's ear. But, you know, the movers and shakers in D.C., a lot of them don't really understand the nuances of the Jackson bill necessary, and they talk about the Magnitsky Act. The Magnitsky Act was a famous act to punish individuals in Russia following the death of this lawyer, Magnitsky. And that act is now being utilized across other countries. And this Jackson bill could be tied to the Magnitsky Act, where you talk to individual as senior business folks or government officials in countries that are seen as unfriendly towards the United States. So that's the risk. But actually, the clock's also ticking, obviously, down to 60 days on the tariffs. I know you want to talk about that too. But the bill could take some months to still go through. So there's no guarantee, Alec, but I think it's a symptom of the negative publicity towards SA, unfortunately.
Some interesting points that you raised there, and just by way of personal experience, on one of my visits to the United States, I remember going into a bar, this was many, many, many years ago, and talking to a guy, and he said, "Oh, where are you from?" And I said, "South Africa." He says, "Is that near South Alabama?" So it was kind of I said, "Seriously?" But we know that the Americans are very insular. Well, they can afford to be. They're a huge economy. And they don't always know that much about what's happening in these external countries that they might be targeting, including us.
Fair enough. But I've been here over 25 years, Alec. There are very, very smart Americans who've gone to the top universities. And interestingly, their source of government, their cabinet is populated mostly by not elected members of Congress. You've got to remember the Commerce Secretary, the Treasury Secretary typically are from Wall Street or from financial business backgrounds. There are a few people like Bobby Rupia who may have been a senator, but a lot of the guys in the cabinet, the U.S. Trade Representative, who is a lawyer, I'm close to one or two of his former partners, these are all commercial guys. The White House is a commercial place at this point. They're looking to do deals. The lingo in D.C. quickly is called commercial diplomacy. You saw it in Ukraine where they did a rare earths mineral deal. There's talk about wanting to do a deal with South Africa, but they need people who've got the skill set to speak about trade and business. They actually want to cut a deal. Personally, our view is that South Africa is the largest trade partner for the Americans in Africa at the moment. We're bigger than Nigeria, believe it or not. We're bigger than all the other countries. And if South Africa could be a cornerstone for the U.S. interests, particularly in Southern Africa, that is appealing. Whether it's Simonstown, whether it's influence in other parts like Mozambique that South Africa has. If we play our cards correctly, that's the good news. South Africa has leverage, Alec. I just don't see an organized campaign at the moment in D.C. I'm told there may be a business delegation, hopefully coming shortly, or perhaps a government delegation. But as I said, the clock is ticking. We're down to about 60 days left, and these tariffs could go back to 30 to 31% against SA.
So let's just understand this. We have got an American population who aren't necessarily tuned into what happens in the rest of the world. But we have an American elite, or the governors, who are very smart. And we do know that in America, business is a science, and most other parts of the world, well, not quite as much. So what you're saying is Washington has become a commercial center. And if we have a government, which we do, who are, sorry, the biggest party in South Africa's government, who are totally ignorant of how business and commercial aspects work, where they see money being made, it's through tenderpreneurs and handouts from corporate South Africa through BEE programs and so on. They don't actually get the commercial aspect of you've got to go do a deal and then deliver and actually execute on it. And this seems to be perhaps the biggest stumbling block here from what you've just said, and certainly the WhatsApp that you sent me. Surely, well, the opening of the door needs to be done by the people who understand these things. And here, I was mulling this over before coming to this interview. What about a delegation of Adrian Gore, Fani Titi, Brian Joffe, Trevor Manuel, Sipho Nkosi? They've all had huge business experience. They all know the U.S. really well. They know how American business works. And if you've got a commercial White House, bloody hell, send a commercial team to deal with them.
Absolutely. Those are all wonderful ambassadors and guys who should certainly serve on a business delegation. I believe people of that ilk can certainly cut a deal, that there's interest in a deal being done within the next 60 days. You've got to remember, America is not sustainable on the fiscal path it's currently on. The reason Trump has all the support, whether it's the DOGE, which we can discuss, the wastage and the abuse, it all comes down to that we have an unsustainable fiscal deficit. Right now, the annual deficit in the States is 6.7, almost 7% a year. It's not sustainable. The other quick one is the debt to GDP is over 120%. Trump is actually under immense pressure by the working class voters that actually elected a Republican. It's the first time the working class have actually voted in droves, including Hispanics and Blacks, for a Republican. He's under pressure to actually deliver. They want jobs to come back and to be reshored. So absolutely, there's an opportunity. I think the good news is if someone can seize the nettle right now, hopefully there is a sense of urgency now amongst the South African government and top business leaders that you previously mentioned to come to DC. I believe I've heard some chatter that that may be on the cards, and that's the way to do it. I think just one interesting aside that I learned from the former Minister of Trade here, he claimed that the Mexican business lobby and the Indian business lobby are running rings around everybody else because they've got a permanent operations in DC. And you may have just heard that Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, overnight is now going to go with the U.S. Trade Representative to Geneva in the next 48 hours to try cut a deal with the Chinese. And the Chinese have also got a delegation. So what's concerning is whether South Africa is at the back of the bus here. You know, there are 17, 18 other sizable countries that have already come to DC, apparently. And hopefully SA will get its act together shortly.
Interesting points there as well. When you have a look at the ANC and their business delegations, these are not people of the ilk that I've mentioned. These are certainly not people who've built serious businesses that will be regarded as the A team when they get to Washington, because you can't send the D team there. It's like, I suppose, sending a South African baseball team to compete in your baseball league.
World Series.
They would get smashed. World Series. So it's a very good point that you make there. And I think one that needs to drop at the government of national unity. The Americans are commercially driven. They're not interested in ideology and anything else, certainly not in these 4 years of Donald Trump. We can either say we want nothing to do with them and really, really get hurt, or we can say, okay, it's their rules now. They're on the other side. Let's play according to their rules and send the A team. Is that the message that you would give?
That's the message, but the risk at the moment is that AGOA, which we can talk about in a moment, South Africa, it looks like we're on the outs. Even if they retain AGOA later this year, which is 50-50 according to some other ambassadors from...
What is AGOA?
African countries. The African Growth and Opportunities Act is a place where South Africa has massive duty-free access to the U.S. Apparently, 400 to 500,000 downstream jobs from the Eastern Cape, whether it's Mercedes, Volvo, and other automobiles, or the citrus farmers from Mpumalanga and the Western Cape, could all downstream have major problems with a 30% tariff. So, look, I think the Americans are very focused on minerals and rare earths right now. If we could cut a deal to give them preferential access, but also show them that we are essentially going to be their representative in Southern Africa, and that we're not in hock with the Chinese necessarily. That's the Chinese lens that we've got to be prepared to hear in every single meeting here, that how are you going to help us against offsetting this Chinese trade deficit? And America wants to have a zero-for-zero tariff arrangement with South Africa. They don't want massive tariffs. They know it's going to hurt poor people. It's not really their intention. But Trump is a deal maker. We've got to come and strike a deal, and we have about 60 days essentially to do it.
You also met with someone I know pretty well, Elsie Kanza, who was at the World Economic Forum, which I've attended for many times, and she was the head of the Africa operation. A fabulous, vivacious, bright, sharp, educated at the best universities, and now she's the ambassador in the United States of Tanzania. Tell us about how she's handling that, because that would perhaps give the South African government of national unity, again, let's not talk the ANC, it's the GNU that takes responsibility, including Democratic Alliance, the PA, and the Freedom Front. How is she handling things there, and what can we learn from the role that she's playing?
Oh, my goodness. She's running rings around most of the ambassadors from Africa. This is a whippersnapper young lady in her late 40s who's got a PhD and a master's degree in economics, developmental economics. She's cutting deals, Alec, with the city of Houston, various ports across the East Coast. She's bringing the Detroit mayor to Dar es Salaam. They're doing sister-to-sister city deals, even though their trade's about 1/20th of South Africa. She said to me, all of Africa is looking towards, all of her fellow ambassadors, rather, are looking towards South Africa, bringing in an ambassador that they can actually collaborate with. South Africa is the big daddy for them. And the fact that there's no media presence, sort of a virtual blackout on South Africa in D.C. I had a number of opportunities to go to certain embassies and actually met with one or two justices of the Supreme Court as well. But they're all sad that South Africa doesn't have the current representation. Someone like Elsie is traveling around setting up chambers of commerce for East Africa and for Tanzania in various parts of the country, because whether it's Texas or California. So she's very, very aggressive. She talks about KPIs, Alex. You know that from Davos. So key performance indicators. She's doubled the trade between Tanzania and the US in the last 3 years since she's resided here. She said to me, she doesn't know if other ambassadors even know what KPI stands for.
Yeah, come on. We got hundreds of LC Kunzas here in South Africa, but we're not using them. We're sending party loyalists who actually haven't got a clue and are going to having a jol, a good old jolly on the other side. And as a consequence, the country loses out. I'm hoping, Anthony, that that this example that you've given us will land in the government of national unity, and somebody there will say, hang about. We can't just send somebody who's been loyal to the struggle for many years. This is much more important at the moment because it's commercially driven. If you want to benefit, and you can benefit from what's going on in the White House, we mustn't care about their politics. We must actually see what is in South Africa's best interest. So what is the kind of person that South Africa should be sending as the ambassador to the United States to benefit the country?
Well, they should have the skill set to talk about trade and tariffs. And frankly, there's such a great, I would say, diaspora of South Africans globally. You know, I'm Jewish, as you know, Alec. I'm married to an American. Americans are very, very direct. Well, I came to this country with the British Anglo-Saxon upbringing and a little bit of the Afrikaner upbringing that I have from Kimberley and places like that. You know, you're taught to be a bit more humble. I mean, Americans are direct. My wife is direct. Trump wants to get a deal done. He's not going to mess around. You see him in the White House every day. You've got to be direct, and you can't mess around. What upsets me is you've got such a wonderful diaspora of smart guys who've worked on Wall Street, who are at top law firms, lobbying firms on K Street here in D.C. as well, that I think there's a wonderful reservoir of pro-South Africans. Incidentally, the Republicans on the Hill are all business-friendly. They do want to cut a deal. They have the ear of the president, and he's a business guy at the end of the day. He looks at Southern Africa as a real estate location with all the minerals and all the resources that we have, whether it's palladium, platinum, lithium, and the rare earths. I think there's a wonderful opportunity to actually reset the American arrangement and actually remain within AGOA would be best, because to start a new bilateral trade agreement, Alec, Elsie mentioned it took 3 years for Kenya down that road. They still don't have a trade agreement. And the USTR guys have said to me, Andy, these things take years. The Americans, it's almost like a proctorial exam. They want to know about your intellectual property rights, your copyright rights, your employment rights. I believe there's a new Department of Labor regulation that's just been passed or coming out in SA. They'll give us a hard time on EWC, on the labor regulations and potential racial quotas. So it's better just to remain inside of AGOA and fight for it and keep those duty-free trade access as far as possible.
Okay, so the most important thing that I think comes out of your trip to Washington is that we're on the back foot. We are in trouble in a big way, but it can be rescued.
I'm actually an optimist, and I actually heard a lot of positive news there. There's a reservoir of goodwill, as I mentioned, the Republicans, but even guys inside the cabinet. There are mostly business-oriented people running the Commerce Department, the Treasury, the U.S. Trade Representative. These are not guys who've gone through the Senate or Congress. These are all business folks or lawyers who understand the world of trade. And that's what Trump surrounded himself with. And those, the U.S. Trade Representative Office, incidentally, for those who don't know, has about 200 staff. And essentially, they cut all the trade deals on AGOA and any other tariff negotiation. So that's really, they get input from state and from commerce and some other departments, but that's really the go-to place.
So about 200 people are going to determine the future as far as American trade is concerned with the rest of the world. That's quite scary if you think about the responsibility that they carry, but the need to get their ear. And that is an ear that at the moment, certainly your eyes are seeing very negative stuff about South Africa. You've got the people who've been there have certainly not. I know they've have their own ideology and their own reasons, but they haven't done the country any favors. And Elon Musk appears to be pretty much in that camp as well. So how do you turn that around? How do you turn that perception around?
All right, that's $1 million question. I will say that Elsie and others have said to me, Anthony, the elephant in the room is other countries have better PR, public relations. They have, obviously, ambassadors present that can represent the country from day one. You can't have another 60, 70-day delay in appointing an ambassador here. They're desperate for South Africa to change the narrative against what Elon's saying. I'm actually friendly with some of the guys in the White House who actually have ex-South African links. You may know that the the crypto czar, AI czar, was born in South Africa, a fellow called David Sachs. You know what? They're people of goodwill. They want to cut a deal. They don't want to see 500,000 poor South Africans losing their jobs. But you do get the feedback that we've got to simmer down our geopolitical stances, being whether it's in the China camp or the Hamas support. These things come up in meetings. I think all we need to do is really be realistic and focus on the trade and the tariff matter at this point, and not to get sidetracked on some of the other geopolitical matters, which unfortunately do raise its head in the media in DC, as you know.
Hundreds of thousands of jobs are at risk. It's a lack of urgency, even though there is the clock is ticking. A inability to represent South Africa in a broader sense. These are all very, very big challenges. But Anthony Ginsberg's a man on the ground in Washington. And thank you for the very valuable feedback that you've given us. You've been into the upper echelons of power. Your only agenda is to promote and help South Africa. And I still have
plenty of family down there, and I don't want to see the economy. I believe it's targeting less than a 1% growth potentially this year. And it would be the bright Americans very quickly, Alec, talk about your GDP per capita in South Africa being negative for around a decade now. So they're aware of it. The smart cookies in the room know that the country's economy is not growing and could do with some help. Imagine if you have American innovation coming and helping to resuscitate the mines across our country and across the region. You've got American capital going into Ukraine to literally build mines from scratch in rare earths. There's no reason why we couldn't have the same influx of tremendous capital. I mean, America is the center of the world's capital and financial flow.
I'm going to just close off with a question to you. I spoke with Jordan Hill-Lewis last night. He's the executive mayor of Cape Town. And in our conversation, he said there is a practical implication of the political uncertainty. He has a person who has pressed pause on a hotel development of R1 billion in the city of Cape Town. And he says he's pressed pause because of this relationship between South Africa and the United States being so tenuous. What would your recommendation be to get that, given all the work that you've now done in Washington and all the people that you've seen and all the feedback that you've had? How are we going to get that guy to press the play button again on that development?
It's a great question. I think the simple answer is if South Africa could get a very simple framework trade deal done with the US, it doesn't mean it's going to be hundreds of pages long with all the copyright and intellectual issues sorted out. But if there's a framework that says, okay, we're giving the Americans some certainty that we're in the Western camp, we're going to be representing the US in good faith across the region. There might be some preferential mining or other trade arrangement with Trump. Typically, if it has a B behind it, it gets his attention very quickly, a B meaning billions of dollars. I think if there was some sort of rapprochement soon, then the Cape Town deal, I'm sure, would go ahead ASAP.
Anthony Ginsberg is the founder of Gins Global. He has been a bull on technology, and that has served his supporters and his clients very, very well. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.